Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, God gives you undeserved favor. Grace is undeserved gifts. You want God's grace? Then walk humbly before Him.
Humility brings grace. Today on Practical Christian Living, we are studying what the Bible says about the humble person. God loves humility and He rewards humility. The scriptures tell us pride brings destruction. Humility is easily and obviously the option and desire for the follower of Christ. Why is it then that pride is such a struggle for the Christian? Such an important message today as we dive into part two of our study in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14.
Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor." He's not saying this is what I do. He's saying this is what I'm going to do. Now, because I have changed, because I've met you, I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, so that's how tax collectors would do it. They would give a false accusation of what they owed. They take their money. I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek those which are lost." That's good for us to remember in ministry as well, that we're to seek and preach the gospel to the poor and to go to those who are lost. And that's the tax collectors. Of course, Jesus in his ministry, when he was calling disciples, called guys who were like Nathan. It was said there was no guile in him. Peter, James, and John, and we know that they knew the scriptures very well before Jesus even called them. They were men that desired to be right with God. And Jesus walked up to a tax collector's table, Matthew, who would write the first gospel in the Bible, and said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed them. And I see Peter, James, John, Nathaniel. What? We're going to have a tax collector as one of our disciples? But that's whom Jesus came to call. I have three verses about humility, because the tax collector is going to represent humility in this parable. Number one is James 4:6. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, God gives you undeserved favor. Grace is undeserved gifts. You want God's grace? Then walk humbly before Him. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor, there is humility." Psalms 149, that tells you there's a lot of psalms. If one of the psalms is 149, there's one more after this. But Psalms 149:4 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation." When a person humbles themselves before God, God saves them, gives them eternity, and transforms them. Now, I would like us now to consider these two prayers, the one of the Pharisee and the one of the tax collector. You could not have two more extreme people, one known as spiritual by the crowds and one known as a sinner by the crowds. So we start with the prayer of the Pharisee. Verse 11, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." Literally in the Greek, it's he prayed to himself. This, I think, happens a lot. I think when we go to prayer meetings and someone prays for 40 minutes, you're an hour prayer meeting, they pray for 40 minutes. They monopolize the time and pray. And you think, I'll be honest with you, this is what goes on in my mind. Please shut up. That's what I say in my mind. I just want to be honest with you. The person just goes on and on and on. And you got to be careful that you don't pray to yourself. They're not praying to be heard by people. And he prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men." What a prayer. And notice that he said in this prayer, he says, "I" five times. He's really impressed with himself. He's got an eye disease. I. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men." Then he gives a list: extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. Now, all those things were bad. Can you imagine you're going to church to make things right with God, and somebody stands up with a loud prayer and points you out. Lord, we thank you that we're not like them. I didn't want to point at anybody. Them. I imagine this Pharisee's prayer was loud. Don't you think? And I wonder if the tax collector heard him. And I thank you, I'm not like that tax collector. And then he says, I fast twice a week. Under the law, you had to fast once a year on the day of Yom Kippur. The Pharisees had taken to fast once a week. This guy fasted twice a week. And here's the thing. It was for nothing but his pride campaign. His fasting, all that hunger did nothing except maybe what he wanted it to do, which was that people would look at him and say, what a spiritual guy. This guy fasts twice a week. And Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees who don't fix themselves up on the day that they fast. They walk around all disheveled and I'm fasting. I'm so hungry. This guy did that twice a week. He says, I give tithes of all that I possess. So very proud of the fact that he tithed everything. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, you tithe your mint and cumin. They tithe their spices. Imagine going to your spice drawer or your spice rack and pouring out 10% of all your spices, bringing them to the church and dropping them in the agape box. And Jesus said, but you neglect righteousness and justice. They were unjust to people. And he says, you should have done the first without leaving the second undone. Meaning, he wasn't condemning them for tithing their spices. He was saying, that's okay. You want to do everything to the nth degree? Then go ahead. But don't forget justice, treating people properly. They were mistreating people. And so that was his prayer, that eye disease. Now we turn to the prayer of the tax collector. It's a radically different prayer. It says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, he knew that he was not worthy to be too close to God. That's a good place for us to start, to know that God is worthy and we are not. Now we are invited to go boldly to the throne to find grace in a time of need in the book of Hebrews. And so when we have things right with God, we can go boldly to the throne and ask for grace to help in some struggle that you're facing and going through. But he stood afar off because he knew he wasn't worthy. And he would not raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying. So he beat his chest. This is emotional. Not only does he know he's not worthy, so he doesn't come close, he doesn't look up to heaven, but he beats his chest as an act of contrition. He knew he was a sinner. And so he beat his chest. David said, you don't desire sacrifices or else I would give them. Sometimes we negotiate with God for forgiveness of sin. God, if you forgive me, I'm going to tithe. God, if you forgive me, I'm going to go to church every week. God, if you forgive me, I'll pray every day. Like God's like, good, I'm up here in heaven. It's lonely. I need somebody to talk to. Or, you know, church is getting a little sparse. I'd like to get more people there. So go ahead and go. I think that's a good thing. Or I'm going to tithe 10% or 20%. God's like, I've been running out of money. I haven't been able to do the things I want to do. So your giving is going to be good. What can you give God? What do you have to negotiate with God for forgiveness? All you can do is be contrite and say what he says, which is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask for mercy. Justice would be what you deserve. Mercy is when God holds off justice. No, you're not worthy. Have contrition over your sins and ask God for mercy. It's a very simple prayer. It's a very easy prayer. It might not be easy to do. Calvary Chapel is often, and I'm not just talking about us as a church, but the Calvary Chapel movement is often accused of easy believism, that we give people a chance to get saved and it's easy. And I say, a lot of Calvary guys will defend that. I say, guilty as charged. It's easy for you to be saved, at least the steps of it. Having a contrite heart, knowing you're unworthy, that's where God has to give you before you can do the easy thing of saying, come into my life, before you invite him in. It's easy, but getting to the place where you are humble enough to ask him into your life, that's the hard part of salvation. And that's where this tax collector got to. And this is an incredibly powerful prayer. He had a sense of God's holiness, a sense of his unworthiness, and he showed signs of remorse. And that is not a bad thing. Now, there are two outcomes, and the outcomes of this would shock the disciples. For us, we understand the atonement. We understand the substitutionary atonement of Christ. At least most of us do. That Jesus took our place on the cross. That we should have died, but he died in our place. The Bible says he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus experienced something on the cross he never experienced by becoming sin, so that we could experience something we never experienced, which is righteousness. And so he says of this man, he says, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And that was the mind-boggling thing to them. That a tax collector who cries out to God is the one who's righteous, but the other one would not leave forgiven, who's trying to be religious. And this is the reason that we say religion can't save you. Going to church can't save you. Being spiritual can't save you. It is only as you appeal to the mercy of God and ask him to forgive your sins and invite him in that you are saved. That's the only way that it happens. And you are able to do that. You have the door to your life. The Bible says in Ephesians that God chose you before the foundations of the world. He's been thinking about you for a long time. And he moves. And for some of you, this could be your day of glory. The day you invite Christ in and you begin to live for him. Now, he has a surprise ending. That's only part of it. The second part of the surprise ending, this, again, we're very familiar with this. But they weren't. He says, for everyone. And note that word, everyone. For everyone. This is a promise that happens to everyone who has this condition. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. That is without exception. Everyone who's on that pride campaign, everyone who wants to show people how spiritual they are and exalts themselves, everyone will be humbled. And then he says, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When we humble ourselves, and the Bible never tells us to pray for humility. I suggest you don't. God, humble me. Don't pray that prayer. This is a better prayer. Lord, help me to humble myself and learn to humble yourself. And remember what false humility is. And what genuine humility is. False humility is when you're really good at something and somebody says to you, you're really good at that. I take like Johnny who led his group today. I would say to Johnny, you're really good at leading worship. And if he goes, no, I'm not. I'm not any good. That's false humility. We all go, chuddy. That's not what we're saying. Real humility is not to lift yourself up. Real humility is when you humble yourself before God and know who he is. Real humility is to put other people's interest above your own interest. To not do anything for selfish ambition. That's real humility. And when we do that, then he will exalt us. And when he exalts us, he doesn't exalt us for our sake. When he exalts us, he exalts himself for his sake. People then see us and they're drawn to God. They see us being exalted, and it's for the glory of God that it takes place. Not for us being exalted, but for him. And remember, Jesus spoke of his exaltation as the cross. I will be glorified. I will finish and be glorified. And he spoke of the cross. So God may use every part of our lives in different ways to exalt us that he might be glorified and that people would come to him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much for the depth of your word. Thank you that you speak to us about this issue that is so real for us, that we do things to be seen by men, that we do things to cause people to think that we are more spiritual than we are. Lord, we repent from that. We turn from it and ask that you would help us that we would be able to humble ourselves and we would not have the bringing down of those who are prideful. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never done what this tax collector did. You've never realized that you are not worthy of God, that you have sin in your life that needs to be forgiven, and you've never asked God for mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I said during the study that salvation is easy. Getting to the place of being saved is not always so easy. Sometimes God's got to do a work when he's calling you. He's calling you. He's drawing you. He has to get you to see what's really going on in your life. You think, I go to church, I'm okay. I don't need to be born again. But you do. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the only way you can enter in. And you do this by inviting him in. You receive him, it says in John chapter 1. As many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. And in Romans 10, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And so you could call on him today. But if you don't want to invite him in, you just keep the door closed. You have the power over the door of your life to open it and let Christ in or not. And today, if you say, Lord, I want you in my life, he will come in and transform you and do a work inside of your life and forgive you of your sins. And he's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll give you gifts of the Spirit. He gives you eternity. All of that by simply saying, come into my life. Your body will become the temple of the Holy Spirit by receiving Christ, the Messiah. If you're here today and you would like to give your life to him, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. And that's just raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, I want Christ in my life. I want to live for him. God bless you, sir, under the balcony there. That's great. God bless you, sir. That's great. And God bless you, ma'am. And sir, that's great. God bless you back by the doors. That's awesome. God bless you all the way off to the side. That's great. All right, you could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand, and if you're online, you can acknowledge it right now, say, I want you in my life. If you're listening on Reach Radio, you can just say, Lord, I want you in my life. We're giving people a chance to get saved, and you can pray this prayer as well. So I would like everyone, including those who want to invite Christ into their life, to pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you, but I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Now, we are very excited for those of you that made this decision, and there is a transformation coming. When I got saved, trust me, I didn't want to go to church before I got saved. I was kind of drugged to church, and I just went because I was made to go to church. But after I got saved, suddenly I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go to Bible studies. I wanted to learn more about God's word. I wanted to pray. I wanted the things that God wanted for me. And that's going to happen to those of you that invited him into your life today. He transforms you and he changes you. There's a new believers table along the wall over here. We have a new believers team. They're great. Make your way by the table. You need to tell somebody, I got saved today. Let them know. Let them pray for you. We have a Bible we want to give you, a new believers packet, let you know what we have for new believers, that you would start your race well and that you would finish it even better. That's our heart and that's our desire for you. Now, if you're online and you could fill out a new believers card as well, just text ready for Jesus to 94,000. The link you're going to get back this time is our new believers card. Fill it out. We'll have someone who will contact you. And there's a place there that you can check, I want to be baptized. Check it. It is important that you're baptized. It's a sign, it's a type of you going under the water and burying the old person who you were and coming up out of the water in the newness of life. And everyone who receives Christ needs to be baptized. It's not salvation, but it's a sign and a milestone that God wants in your life of how important this transformation is. Also, if you haven't been baptized, then in our Connect card and in our New Believers card, you can just go fill it out. There's a place to give your story in the New Believers card. You can just say, I've been a Christian for a lot of years. I just need to be baptized, and then check the baptism box and we'll contact you and we'll schedule you for a baptism. All right. Now I want to pray for you. And I like to pray for you based on what we have been covering. And this is pretty simple. I want to pray that God would help us, that we would humble ourselves, and that God would reveal if we have pride and if we're deceived by the deceptiveness of sin. And I want to pray for those of you who raised your hand and gave your lives to Christ. I want to start there. So the Bible says, let every man lift up holy hands and pray. Or I would that every man would lift up holy hands. I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands and pray. And I want to pray for you. Our hands are made holy by the blood of the Lamb, by the way. Father, I want to pray for everyone who is here, those watching, those listening. Lord, I pray first of all for those that raised their hands and gave their lives to you. I don't know whether they are coming for the first time or whether they're returning to you after walking away, but I know that you have been waiting for this day for them. I pray you would establish them, make them strong in you, show them the plan and the purpose that you have for their lives. Lord, I also want to pray for all of us. I pray you would help us to humble ourselves, because the Bible tells us there's so many blessings that come along with us humbling ourselves before you. And we want to do that. And forgive us for our pride campaign of trying to show people around us how spiritual we are. And help us to turn away from that, to put pride away, because we know if we don't humble ourselves, you will humble us. And so we're sorry. We pray that you would help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now I want to leave you with a blessing. And a blessing is a spoken prayer over people. And there are several of them in the Bible. I use the one from Numbers chapter 6, which was the priestly prayer that God said, speak the name of God over the people in this manner. So it's something that the priest did in the Old Testament when they would release the people. They would speak the name of God. So God's name is in this prayer three times. And the name of God is what we call the Tetragrammaton. It's the YHWH. It's over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. The Tetragrammaton is written out. YHWH. They wouldn't put the consonants of the name of God in there, so we've lost it. Theologians tell us that they believe that it's Yahweh is the closest that we can get to it. That may be correct, but maybe it's not a bad thing that we don't know it for sure. A Jew would say in their day when they would come to the name of God, when they were reading, they would say the name. They wouldn't even speak the name of God because God was so holy to them. So this is a prayer that's spoken over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible, and that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.